Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day.
Hump day.
Live from the College Football Hall of Fame, SEC Media Days, day number 3.
Yes.
The first 2 days of SEC Media Days, we were off-site. We were talking to people remotely and did get a chance to catch up with Kirby Smart yesterday. But today we're here, Randy. Good morning to you. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, man, all good, man. It's a pleasure as always to be here amongst your people and everything like that. But, I get an opportunity to see some of my good friends, just some of my main man, Jacob Hester, some of my man, Ben Watson, and Rome down there. So it's always good to catch up with them. But, yeah, man, it's we talked about it on Monday. When you get to this part of the summer, you feel college football is coming around, man.
Yeah.
And it damn sure feels like that. And I think Alabama, Mississippi State, and
Florida and Oklahoma
are here today. Yep. And you look at those four teams, I mean, the Alabama expect for second year, Kalen DeBoer, Mississippi State, new offensive coordinator, offensive-minded guy. How can they, compete in the SEC, Oklahoma, and then, Florida, they got a superstar young quarterback.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, but it'll be fun if we get an opportunity to talk some of them today. But last night, Bunk, I'm telling you, I know the All-Star game was last night, but the best part was the beginning. Because
awesome.
That daggone Hank Aaron tribute.
What a,
like, I don't get moved a lot.
It was beautiful.
Dude, it was unbelievable.
They did a great job. With the firework going out to left center.
Unbelievable.
Taking the same path that the home run took when he broke the record. Yeah, whoever is responsible for the production of that,
yes,
I hope they win every award.
Yes.
Sometimes you're watching something in a sports broadcast, and it's like, well, there's the Emmy. Just give it. I remember when DeMar Hamlin got hurt and Scott Van Pelt and Ryan Clark – went live on the air unexpectedly for like an hour and a half.
Yep.
And Ryan Clark, like, well-established, analyst and all of that. Like, that night I was like, yeah, well, that guy's the best at it.
Yes.
He's the best one.
Yeah.
Give him the Emmy for that, and he did. Ended up winning for that segment that night. But, I was just watching that. I was like, man.
This is so damn cool.
Sometimes, and I know I say this all the time, and I'm going to keep saying it, and I don't know, because I believe it. Like, sometimes you just get – is it numb or you just get used to it or whatever? Just the amount of cool sports stuff that's always happening in the city of Atlanta and then also that has taken place in the city of Atlanta.
Right.
And the fact that Hank Aaron broke the record just down the road from where we're sitting right now is remarkable.
It was great. I'm just like, because I had my Hank Aaron shirt on yesterday.
Yeah, right, you did.
And then just thinking about it, I was like, man, just – and the game was fine.
The game was fine.
Yeah, outside of Dave Roberts being a damn troll. You could have put Ron LaCunha in that mini home run derby, right?
Well, I do wonder.
Or because he subbed him out.
I think a lot of those – no, you could.
Okay.
The subbing out didn't matter.
Okay.
I think guys left. I think, seriously, I saw it reported from some of the baseball writers.
Right.
Like, if you're wondering why some of the starters and superstars aren't taking place, it's because maybe some of them aren't here anymore.
Oh, they had to jump on a flight.
Remember Tarek Skubal had on his street clothes.
Yeah.
He was out the door. And then it went – I don't even think people maybe knew that it was going to be a swing-off when the game was tied.
So you think Ronnie left?
I think he might have been gone. You know what I mean? Like, that's the only explanation I could come up with. That's no offense to the guy from the Rays that was the final batter for the American League, but, like
– Shohei?
They got other guys.
Yeah.
Well, that's nationally, but, like, they guys on the American – like Aaron Judge, maybe?
Maybe they would – you know what? But they were out of the game for so long. And they were cold.
Yeah, you know how it is in baseball.
You just get so cold. Yeah, they were cold.
On a 93-degree night in Atlanta, Georgia. I think guys were gone. I think flat-out dudes that started and got subbed out of the game hit the airport because during a baseball season, you don't get a lot of downtime.
Right.
They got 36 hours maybe to go spend a little time on the beach with their families.
Yeah.
They were – I guarantee you there was at least one guy, if not more, that when that swing-off happened, he was watching it on TV on a private jet.
I would doubt it.
He's like, all right, let's go, American League.
Because you got to think about it. I got to go all the way back to L.A. or Arizona.
Or wherever.
Or Seattle.
Wherever you're meeting your family
whatever. Let's go. Because, you get like a 3 or 4 day off.
That's it.
Let's go to Bahamas for a couple days.
Yeah, when that season starts in spring training at the end of February, you don't get multiple days off with your family until the season's over.
Yes.
And that's 7 months.
Yes.
Like, that's a long time. So, I don't blame – anybody who might have been at, because you don't fly out of Hartsfield when you're those guys.
There's a
peach tree or something like that.
There's one in over there by over in Mapleton. There's this private one, and then it's one. damn, it's right above North Druid Hill somewhere.
Yeah. Just like.
Yeah, somewhere in that area.
Almost on Buford Highway. Yeah. Not too far up. Yeah.
So those
guys went there.
Yeah.
They were gone. Which, fine. Yeah. I did think the swing off was really cool.
It was cool.
It was a fun way to end it. From a petty perspective, I'm happy that the guy from the Rays didn't hit any home runs, because you know what would have happened if he did. Then Pete Alonso would have been the MVP of the All-Star game in the Brave Stadium.
Because
Pete Alonso's three swings was going to hit a home run and win the thing.
I love the pettiness of the Braves fans, because the introductions was just great. It was booing Alonso, booing the Phillies.
And I think those guys take it as a sign of respect.
They do.
They get it.
They understand that part about him. I love that right there. Love the ovation from Ronnie. He got him a hit. Yeah. But I'm looking at it from a standpoint, them two damn starting pitchers, man. Good gracious.
Disgusting.
Like, Skeen was dealing.
Yeah, man.
And then, I mean, I've never seen the Detroit Tigers play. I've never seen them. I don't watch them. Scooble.
Yeah.
Dude, these dudes are big, overpowering, just you know what. And, I mean, I wish we had one of those. We got one, but he's a little shorter stature.
Yeah, that's true. Our flamethrower is about 5'10" or whatever.
Yeah, but to watch those guys go to work and everything. And like you said, I was like, look at Dave Roberts' old petty ass. Like, we got two Braves in here, and you mean tell me you can't put them in? But
yeah, put one of them
in. Put one of them in the game.
Because Olsen was there. Like, Olsen was in the lineup late in the game.
Yeah.
Put him out there,
man.
Like, because he would have been in the Pete Alonso spot.
Right.
So maybe he wouldn't have batted either. I mean, what Schwarber did was awesome.
That dude. Man.
You come in there and just hit three of them
out,
final one, you hit your knee, and you're watching it
bow.
Go into the chop house. That was really fun to see.
Bow.
Just a fun celebration of the game. Cool that there was some Braves on hand for sure. The Hank Aaron tribute, the intros with the local artists.
Yes.
Which, again, shout out to baseball for getting that right.
It was crazy because, like, I was wondering what version JD was going to do. But he did the old first original version of Welcome to Atlanta. Because, you know, in the second one, he said he don't go to Strokers no more. Because they don't know how to treat you when you come in the dough. Which he's absolutely correct.
That would have been pretty. That would have been pretty fun.
Yeah.
To do in front of a baseball audience of like, what's he talking? What's Strokers? And then you Google it.
Yeah, man. What's it's like? 112 still open? had me thinking like it's a new one. You know, but that was really cool
to see. That's a Kroger.
No, it's a Publix.
It's a Publix.
Yes, Publix. To see him and Lou to do that. Like you said, baseball did get it right and everything. But it was fun. Now it's back. Well, no, we don't have to go back to reality till Monday.
No. Yeah. Well, the Friday. We don't have to talk about it till Monday.
Yeah. We got to go to reality to Monday.
Yeah, we're in the world of everybody's dream is alive.
Yes.
It's SEC media. Day,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's talking season. Everybody has optimism. Everybody's got that great transfer that's coming in to save the program or whatever. You kept the guys you needed to keep. Everybody here. I heard Diego Pavia say earlier in the week, "We want to win a national championship."
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, good for him. Good. I mean,
it's the right thing to say.
I mean, you don't ever come into the season with the expectation that we're going to be all right. If you don't set your goal as a team, as a program, or program to be a national champion, then what the hell are you doing it for? You know, I think
Music
that,
City Bowl, baby. Swag bag.
You know, but you have to have that kind of expectation, because that's what drives you through the offseason. That's what drives you through the summer. I mean, and everything like that. And so when you have that mindset, and then them coming off, I'm talking about Vanderbilt coming off of some success last year, some big ass wins. You know, and then him coming back, I would have that confidence, man, because he's a very good football player, tough, gritty, hell of a leader. And, you know, him, I know they had to do some kind of, like, they had, like, a lawsuit and stuff to have to get another year of eligibility.
Yeah, there was some loopholes.
And all that other stuff like that. But
for them.
The dude is a gunslinger. I heard he had a tuxedo on.
Yeah, it was, like, tuxedo adjacent. He had a bow tie on and a black suit.
Okay.
It was like tuxie-like.
Oh, okay, tuxie-like.
He looked like, like you go to a nice restaurant and there's a wine expert,
that guy.
Tell you about the pairings.
Yeah, don't be leaning my damn glass over. Just poet, man. I don't know.
In the history of ordering a bottle of wine at a fancy restaurant gotten the tiny pour, tasted it, and said, not for us?
But the thing about it.
Has anyone ever done that?
I've never seen anybody do that. But the worst is the guy.
Ugh, gross.
The guy that you know don't know nothing about no wine. Be talking about some switch. All right, man. He laid over. Now, do you see those right there? How the wine goes down the glass? No, I want to see it go down my throat. Give me the damn one. Give me my wine, man.
Here, just funnel it.
Dude, I am like, oh, I am that guy. I am that guy when it's time to wine. Like,
but that's what it looked like. That's what Diego Pavia looked
okay.
He looked like he was a sommelier.
Oh.
But like a young one, like a, you know, like a young hip one.
A sommelier.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's a word for a wine expert.
I
think it is.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it is.
I have no clue, brother.
I went with it. I went with it.
You know what? You know when you go with something, I'm coming with you.
Yeah, I know you are.
Yeah,
I know.
You know that.
Sometimes I lead you down a wrong path.
It don't
Randy.
Even matter, dog.
Sometimes I lead you down the wrong path. But I do think I got that one right.
Okay.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back and tell you what's trending here on a hump day as we are live at the College Football Hall of Fame. SEC Media Days number 3. I know that they had Kalen DeBoer on the morning shift earlier today,
okay.
The head coach of Alabama. He had some really nice things to say about Michael Penix.
Nice.
Obviously, he coached him at Washington. We'll get to that in about half an hour. We'll let you hear some of what Kirby had to say to us yesterday as well coming up next. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bunch of hungry dudes, man, because they feel like they haven't accomplished anything. There's a lot of them that haven't started before. So it's like, okay, I played, but I hadn't started. Okay, I played, but I hadn't started. I feel like last year it was a lot of returning starters. And some of them, you know, say what you want. When you're a starter, you get comfortable sometimes.
Right.
These guys are not comfortable. They're kind of like, okay, how am I going to leave my mark? This is my year. So it seems a little more energy, a little more enthusiasm as it's new to them, but they also haven't been in those moments, those big moments and those tough games.
That's Kirby Smart from yesterday with us, SEC Media Days Day 2. If you missed that interview, the whole thing's available on the website, 929thegame.com, the Andy and Randy page. Subscribe to the Andy and Randy podcast. It'll be right there by itself. Odyssey app, all that good stuff. It's always fun to talk to Kirby, but it was a good conversation yesterday, and that was one of the things that he kept hammering home was, you know, that was a question about this team, but just his players in general.
Right.
Like, you know, it's a weird era, man. Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of guys that are built maybe a little different than eras past. We want to make sure we have guys that are upholding the standard that we have, and hungry, hardworking players is how you do that.
Well, Everett even said it as much, you know, and he's, you know, he's been there, and he said kind
of – He was very honest.
He was very honest about, you know, this new player that you can't – and I remember I mentioned, I was like, I was coached hard. You know, always. And I had never had an issue with it because I just like, you know, that's what it is. But now you got to be able to nurture and all that other stuff. Whatever. All right. Let's go play damn football.
Right.
Toughen your ass up.
What I like about Kirby is like, I don't have to.
No.
Like, I'm not gonna.
No, I'm not.
Like, you can if you want.
Yeah.
But we're going to do it like this. And if you don't like that, well, then the door is over there.
And you can
go. And you find another place to go
to. I mean, but that's the biggest thing of what college football is now is that Kirby is at he's I won't say a bond. He's a damn – but yet he was able to stack. You know, he was able to stack. He can't do that anymore. And then you're forced to play so many young players now because of the fact is that these guys want to play. And I have no problem with these young men wanting to go play, go start, all those different things. But a lot of times they don't start. And you're in the same position that you are. That's why I'm always curious of what goes into the player's mind about trends. I know every situation is different, but do you have a plan? You know what I mean? Or is it like, I'm going to portal and then I'll figure it out. Before or you know what I mean, and I'm sure a lot of it is that way, but yeah, I mean that's why the last question I asked him about the underdog because I don't say he made it right, not underdog, but you know
under talked about,
yeah, because there's so many unknowns with this team, you know, and you know I'm as confident as anybody about these dogs, but I understand where this team is and where this program is. It's in a new era.
Yeah,
it's in a new era of because like you said, you went from Stetson to Carson, and now you're at Gunner. Mm-hmm. We don't know about damn Gunner.
We really don't. He was here yesterday, though, so people got to hear from him a little bit. Here he is talking about how excited he is for the year.
Yeah, we're really excited about the season. Just we've had a great off season. Just getting to know everybody and coming together and really connecting.
One thing that I do know about Gunner after yesterday is he doesn't love doing interviews that much, which is fine. I don't really care. He also, and I knew this, but it really stood out yesterday too. He looks like Brock Bowers
a little bit.
Like they look like
a
they could be like first cousins or something
a little
like
bit.
That.
Little
you know,
bit.
Kind of similar kind of look, and similar interest in doing interviews.
Yeah,
because remember we had Brock on that one time.
Boy.
And we threw all our little fun tricks at him to try to loosen him up and make him laugh, and he wasn't having it.
Yeah, man. But, I mean, I'm excited about Gunner. And the reason why is because, you know, I don't buy into all the recruiting and all that stuff, but if you're telling me five stars or five stars, well, he was one.
Sure. No, I mean, that's the thing about all the shucks, small town, blah, blah, blah. That's fine. Yeah. It's good for stories and stuff. The dude holds some of the craziest records in terms of high school football in the state of Georgia's history.
Yes.
Like, broke all of Trevor Lawrence's touchdown records.
Yes.
Like, okay. Like, that's, you know.
That's him.
Like, that's what matters. Yes. Is the dude can ball when he gets on the field. And, you know, he saw him for six quarters in two incredibly high-pressure games.
Yes.
Led a comeback in the SEC championship game. Yes. Didn't know he was going to play. And then, you know, what happened against Notre Dame happened against Notre Dame. To say definitively one way or the other that you know what he's going to be, and I know you just said that you don't, would be disingenuous.
Yes.
I think we're all optimistic.
Yeah.
I don't think Kirby puts him out there if he doesn't think they can win with him.
No.
But, yeah, I don't think anybody can fully know what to expect from
him. Yeah, but and you're sitting in a situation where Austin Peay and Marshall are your first two games, so he gets his feet wet.
Perfect.
Perfect. It's perfect. A perfect situation for him. And, hell, I mean, it's a perfect situation for a lot of these guys because it's one thing to practice with him. It's another thing to get in the game with him. I mean, he has damn near a completely – brand new wide receiver core.
Right.
But I think three or four new offensive linemen.
Uh-huh.
And so, I mean, it's going to take some time.
New running backs.
I know Nate Frazier's there,
but there's a big transfer running back.
It's going to take some time for this thing to gel. I mean, what's a better way to gel than have your preseason? Now, we'll out-roster them.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Because that's just what it is. But, yeah, you get an opportunity to get your feet wet. And then right before the SEC play, and, I mean, that's where you – You build confidence in them.
When's the last time we've gone into a Georgia season where we've kind of felt this much like, yeah, I don't know, we're going to have to wait and see, you know? Like, it just feels like the last 5 years, dating back to 21 when they won the championship, the first championship, where there was so much continuity and like, guys coming back and upperclassmen and all that kind of stuff. Even that year, it was because it was JT Daniels,
yeah.
Right? It was like you kind of felt like you knew what you had at quarterback a little bit. Ultimately, the story turned out a lot different than that with the quarterback position. But, like, it's just – if I don't remember there being so much new and unknown. The difference, though, is everybody's like that.
Yes.
Like, that's college football now.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, the turnover is what it is, you know? And the thing with it is that – you know, you have all confidence in Kirby. As we talked, you mentioned yesterday, his best coaching job was last year.
Yeah.
And it was the worst that – I don't want to say the worst because they still won the damn SEC, Randy. But it just wasn't there. That was the most stressful Georgia year since he's been there.
Sure.
You know, with all the having to battle and, like, you're supposed to – did they cover any games last year?
Didn't feel like
it. Yeah, they felt – you know what I'm saying?
Maybe the Texas one,
maybe.
The first one.
Yeah,
but that was the best game they played.
Yeah, they were out. They were awesome, and yet still they left so many points on the field.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean Carson threw with four interceptions and all that, but yet they found a way to win the football game.
I guess that was the best game the defense.
Yes,
yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, if you can limit the mistakes, because the defense is going to be the defense. I know they got a lot of young guys and all those different things in the front seven. The defense is going to be the defense.
Yeah, I think. We talked to C.J. Allen yesterday.
Yes.
I think he's got a chance to be an award-winning linebacker.
Yes, yeah.
I think Dalen Everett has a chance to be a day-one draft pick guy.
I mean,
my question, I guess, and Kirby talked about this yesterday, they just had so much continuity. Even guys that didn't end up being, like, huge draft prospects in the NFL on that D-line, especially interior, just guys that were there for years and years. I'm interested to see what that D-line looks like this year because they lost a couple guys, portal guys. They brought in some guys as well, but it's just not that group that you've been used to over the last handful of years. And when they were at their absolute peak, when the standard became the standard and all that stuff in 21-22, that's why.
Yes.
Like, I mean, you know, you had some all-time Georgia greats on the defensive line at that point. We'll get back into more of what we heard yesterday about Georgia and more of our thoughts about the upcoming season on Georgia. Kalen DeBoer spoke on Michael Penix on the morning show earlier today, obviously the morning shift. He coached him at Washington for a couple of years and in Indiana, too, so he knows him really well. We'll get to that in about 10 minutes. Let's hear the way that the All-Star game in Major League Baseball ended last night.
Schwarber in the air to center field, headed towards the wall, and dead center.
That's huge for the National League.
They're within one. So there you go. He said if he could get it on his first swing, and he did. Oh, Schwarber!
second one.
In the All-Star game.
The second one. I don't know how far.
Tied at three. That's MVP material if he gets the third one right here.
AL rallied in the game. NL has rallied in the swing. Oh.
And the third one, he goes down to his team.
National League takes the lead 4-3.
Great point from Bo. Paul Skeens, even as an All-Star, can't get a win. Had a 6-0 lead at one point, they end up winning the game, but he doesn't get the win, obviously. And I'll be honest, like, I didn't even know that they had changed the rule for a swing-off in a tie.
Right.
Better than calling it a tie.
Yes.
Better than playing extra innings.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
And I thought it was fun. I thought it was kind of a cool new quirk to the All-Star game, and obviously the way that it went with Schwarber hitting those home runs clutch to win the thing. But I thought it was a cool new addition to the game.
Yeah, I'm with you right there. I was like, okay, how was this going to – because I know they're not going extra.
No.
We know that.
We don't need to be doing that.
I'm pretty sure that every manager organization cringes when their pitchers are pitching up there. You're like, because they're gagging.
Or even like Acuna going from first to home in the first inning. Like, they're like, stretch it too much.
Hey, we don't slide. No plays at the plate or anything like that. But yeah, it was cool. And Schwarber, I mean, he gets on my damn nerves because, you know, as far as when we play against him.
He's so damn good.
He's so damn good. And you fear the fact because is he still the leadoff hitter for them?
Uh-huh.
And you feel like, you leave one out there, he's going to kill it.
Free agent.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
He clearly likes hitting at Truist.
Yeah, he does. Huh.
Ronnie goes to third. Schwarber leadoff?
No.
No?
No.
Why not? I like it.
I'll let Profar. I'm going to let Profar
bat second.
Then where are you going to put Matt Olson? Clean up?
Fourth.
Then you put Austin Riley fifth?
Yeah.
I like that.
I don't know.
I like it.
Yeah, it's something.
I like it.
It's not nothing.
I like it. You got to pay him a lot, dude.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
you got to
pay him a lot.
Hometown discount. Yeah. I don't know where he's from. We are at SEC Media Day. It's day number 3. Today is Alabama, Mississippi State, Florida, and Oklahoma. I do know that over the next hour or so, we're supposed to catch up with some of the Alabama players. Tim Keenan III is here, Deontay Lawson, as well as Caden Proctor. So hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to a couple members of the Crimson Tide football team. Also, Blake Shapen, the quarterback from Mississippi State, is scheduled to stop by in the 11 o'clock hour as well. Coming up next, though, they had Kalen DeBoer on the morning show, Alabama head coach. He was Michael Penix's coach at Washington as well. He had some high praise for the Falcons starting quarterback. We'll hear what he had to say about him after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy. I can't hear myself for some reason.
Did you grab the wrong headphones, too?
No, I can't.
Oh, okay, because I grabbed the wrong damn headphones.
See, that's the one thing about being on remote is we get a little comfortable during those breaks. You know, we're just hanging out, looking around. There's, you know, Alabama players walking around.
And we're not allowed to have speakers up here, right? I'm assuming. They were not allowed to have speakers up there.
Yeah,
then you can hear the commercials and everything like that.
That would be pretty funny because, you know, there's a lot of other radio stations around, including, like, other local radio stations.
Yeah.
It would be hilarious if we were in the background.
Yes. Like,
there.
Oh, it'd be awesome. It'd be awesome.
People are like, what's that I hear?
I have a question
for you. Oh, right. Those guys are back from break. Let me switch over.
Am I the only person that probably thinking about, like, if it was like a fight up here, you would take all of it?
That didn't cross my mind, but now that you mention it,
yeah. I'm looking up and down this aisle.
No, I think, I mean, you're the number one seed, obviously.
Yeah. I'm talking about me and you, Blake.
Yeah, sure. I'm just saying, it, like, you know, as a team, for sure.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, the reason our team is doing good. You know what I mean? Like, if you were out of town and, like, Abe was filling in, I don't know that we'd be the favorite anymore. No offense to Abe. I just think you're carrying a lot of water on that one. Well, especially now that these guys, you know, the guys sitting next to us from Baton Rouge.
Yeah, Hester.
Your former teammate, Jacob Hester, and that was Matt Flynn, right?
Yes.
So that's a couple former players right there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You only got one former player here.
Yeah.
Again,
I know you're
going
to hold yours down, man.
Do
all I got to do is just keep – I got to reach on Hester.
All right, you got to reach on everybody.
Yeah, I got to reach on Hester. But he was telling – because I love him. But his family's awesome. And he was telling me, like, his oldest boy – he's 6'2", 250. I was like, damn, your son's taller than you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man. So he's playing football. But he has a wonderful, beautiful family, man. And hopefully we'll get him on tomorrow. Because this LSU thing, it's like the Brian Kelly on the hot seat is like really – like I think they will fire Brian Kelly?
It would have to go real bad.
It would have to go
– right? It would have to go
like how bad. But that's what I'm saying. Like how bad – like I can't see them just like falling off.
Right.
But is it college football playoff and that's all you got to get to?
It's hard for me to say. Like,
I don't know.
Obviously, Bo is running the show today. Yeah. He's a diehard LSU fan. He could probably give you a better sense of where the fan base is at. Like, it's so hard for me in situations like this, going into seasons with schools like that and saying it's college football playoff or bust
right.
before the season even happens.
Right.
Right? Like, so many different things can happen in a year. Like, they got a Heisman favorite at quarterback. Something happens to that guy, and the season is affected because of it. You have to put that in the context of evaluating the season. Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's why it's so hard to say cut and dry, like, these guys either do this or everybody gets fired. I don't think it's like that for them. I think there's some programs that are like that.
Yeah.
I think Florida has to make some giant steps given how bad it's been there the last handful of years.
Yeah. Okay.
I think Kentucky probably with Stoops.
Yeah.
That. But I think it's probably a little bit more complicated in Baton Rouge. And obviously that's not the situation for a lot of teams as well. Some teams have a lot of really talented players coming back and have very high expectations this year, including Alabama. Tim Keenan sits down with us right now live at SEC Media Days. Tim, how are you?
I see you shining over there, 9-6. I see you shining.
I'm doing good. I can't complain at all.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Appreciate it.
That way everybody knows what number you are.
Yeah,
you know, 9-6. You obviously have been with this program for a few years, and tell us about the transition, because a lot of times it's a learning of a new coach, because you were under for Nick for so long, and then you got Caitlin to come in. How was that the start of it, and how is it going now?
Of course, with any change, anything that's new, you're gonna have some like ups and downs with going through it, but. It's just the same as if I would have go to the league this past year. I would have had to learn a new system and a whole new everything. So it's just about how fast you adapt and how fast you want to adapt and your attention to detail and stuff like that. Of course, it's, being Coach Saban the GOAT and everything, but Coach DeBoer, he's definitely a GOAT in his own way too, especially filling those, shoes that Coach Saban had and everything. So I really believe in Coach DeBoer a lot.
Does it feel, because obviously last year was the first year and I'm sure it was a bit of a surprise to a lot of the guys on the team that Nick Saban wasn't going to be the head coach anymore.
Yes, sir.
And then DeBoer comes in, and that's his first offseason. This is his second offseason, so he's had a full year and probably a bit more comfortable in Tuscaloosa. Does it feel different going through a second offseason with him?
Oh, definitely. Like, especially since, like you said, the transition. Coach DeBoer pretty much got off a plane and had to coach spring ball. So,
yeah.
He didn't had a whole offseason of, recruiting and, being able to get us in the programs that we need to as far as strength and conditioning with Coach Ballou. It's been amazing. And to see how it has grown and everything, he's definitely more comfortable. Because I can hear it in his, his tone in his speech. He got a little of that Alabama in him now. He's saying like y'all and everything like that. So, we get him in that dirty south.
There you go.
Last year, you're still damn Alabama. I don't get who's the coach or whatever. Alabama is a standard. You've been there to help establish that standard. How do you get back to that? Again, get back to compete for national championships. I don't want to say disappointment last year, coach, but obviously you were probably disappointed in your teammates in last year.
Of course, what happened last year is definitely not the standard. And this year, we focus on being where our feet are, not looking too far ahead, playing the whole game, the whole 60 minutes, and just going 1-0 every play. Can't look behind us, can't look too far in front of us, just handle being where our feet are.
Tim Keenan, Alabama Crimson Tide, joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, live at SEC Media Days. why is this year going to be different? Like, what is it about this team that gives you so much belief?
Well, one, like I was talking earlier, I said we dedicated this season to God, and I made sure for myself that, you know, I'm going to do put my best foot forward and, you know, go hard for God as far as dedicating this season to Him. Because I did it before, and I did it, like, I went with God, and that's how I got on the field, and that's how I got noticed. So now that I'm noticed and I got the platform, I got to make Him more noticed because, you know, I glorify His name, He'll glorify mine. And, like, me and my chaplain, we talk all the time. He said the blesser is always more important than the blessing.
Correct.
So I live by that.
How old is Ryan Williams? Because I know that was like every drive they had to tell us how old this young man was. Like, oh, is that like every single damn drive. Yeah. But tell us a little bit because we got you for a few more minutes. Tell us about this offense and how it's because last year he didn't have his guy. Now Frank DeBoer has his coordinator with him and everything. How has it been with spring? And do you see the any difference in it?
Oh, definitely. Grubb definitely bringing that pro style to, you know, to Bama and everything like that. What he's doing, he cooking up something for sure. Ryan, my boy legal now. He 18, so he good. He 18 now because, you know, they will say he's 17. So, hey, just my boy good. Now, he a grown man legally, if you want to say it, but he been a grown man from the plays he made. I'm happy to be his teammate and everything. And that whole offense from the offensive line to the wideouts to the running backs, we get better every day, iron sharpening iron.
You look pretty grown up during the season last year.
Yeah. He's 17. Can you believe this guy's 17?
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Appreciate you, Dick, man. Stay healthy, brother.
Good luck this season. That's number 96.
Stay healthy, man.
Tim Keenan, Alabama Crimson Tide, sitting down with us talking about a lot of the topics that people are wondering about as it relates to Alabama. And you brought it up there at the end. Great point. Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb had been together along the whole way.
Yes.
And then Grubb gets that great opportunity to be the OC in Seattle. You got to take it with the Seahawks and the NFL. Didn't work out. He is now back with DeBoer at Alabama. And, I think that'll make a difference.
Yeah, I mean it was crazy because going back to what you said about Kirby, we were talking about the coaches and everything like that. When you have that comfort with the coaches and they can, and you don't have to really say anything because they already know what you're going to say before you say it. And then you look at the success, like you said, everywhere they've been together, they've had success. And, you know, they are in a point where he don't have to learn what Kalen DeBoer wants. He already knows the standard of what he wants and how he wants his offense ran. And going back to what I was what we were talking to Tim about, like, yeah, they were down last year, but it's still damn Alabama.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they got some – with Tim and that defense, they might have one of the best defenses in America. They got some studs over there. You know, you break in, and it's all about breaking a new quarterback. And you know, Ty Simpson.
Yeah, he said if they played the day, that's who would be the starter. But they got three guys kind of competing.
Yes. And so, and I saw that quote, if it was the day, he would be a starter. But he's still a relatively young quarterback. I know a lot of people thought that he was going to – a lot of people I was reading last year thought that, you know, he was going to replace Milroe last year. You know, and obviously Milroe held on to that job. But, yeah, you're breaking in a young quarterback. But, I mean, the Ryan is – he's a full-grown man as far as receiver. And that play he made against us, like, I mean, we had the game.
It's one of the craziest plays I've ever seen.
The game. And this kid just comes up and makes a hell of a play, and a hell of a play to not get tackled.
Yeah, to make the play and then spin through two defenders and, like, I don't know, have the wherewithal. And also just, like, the courage to do it. Like, not just go out of bounds, stop the clock, and keep it going.
Nah.
There was a lot of ridiculous moments in the football season last year. But Georgia coming all the way back on Alabama, scoring, and then Alabama immediately answering and scoring right back. And then Georgia had the ball with a chance. I mean, that's one of the craziest fourth quarters I've ever seen.
Yeah, man. So we got to talk
about it. I know. Yeah. But we're just talking about Alabama a little bit. You know what I mean?
We got to talk about it.
Caden Proctor is going to join us in a few minutes. He's an offensive lineman for the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Yeah, man.
As it is Alabama Day here at SEC Media Days. Kalen DeBoer.
Good Lord. We're going to have to get Gordo and Garrett going to have to push that seat together. This dude is 6'7", 360.
Yeah, look at him.
Yeah.
He's right over there.
Oh, man. He ain't no damn 360.
No.
He's too sleek.
I don't know. Maybe that suit's hiding it. I'm not sure. I don't know. It's a big-ass dude, man. That's all I know. That guy's going to be protecting the quarterback at Alabama this year.
Yeah, man.
He's probably going to be a top 10 draft pick.
Yeah, more than likely.
And be protecting a quarterback in the NFL, not long from now.
More than likely, he'll be there. But, I mean, yeah, they have some players over there. And Frank DeBoer, I mean, and Kate, why don't you call this man Frank?
Yeah, Kalen don't DeBoer, disrespect him like
Kalen
that.
Kalen DeBoer is a
They ran Frank out of here on a rail.
He's a very outstanding football coach, offensive-minded coach. But he got some talent, and then another year with him. The players have another year with him learning, because Tim was saying, like, he basically got off the plane and then jumped it.
This took place at such a weird time of year. Remember, everyone was like, wait, Saban's doing
what?
No, he's not. That's fake. And then, obviously it wasn't. Before we go to break, because I did want to play this, we're already talking about DeBoer anyway. He was on the morning shift earlier today talking about the Falcons quarterback, Michael Penix, who he coached for a number of years in college. Here's that.
You just said something about me making him. He made me, too. Together we did it. Some amazing things. And I just saw him a couple weeks ago. There's a lot of players that are super special to you, but because of his journey and what we accomplished together and his faith and confidence to come up to Washington at the time when maybe staying closer to home and, the career kind of going a certain direction at that point. Just meant so much. And so, he actually came over a couple weeks ago, spent the night at the house, and dinner with a bunch of the others that he knows well that came down from Washington, too. So I'm super excited about what this next year is for him. When he gets comfortable and familiar with an offense, those tools that he has will take over. And so I'm excited for this next round.
That's awesome.
I am, too. I'm excited, too. He's right, though. The comfortability is such a huge part of it. That I know he only played 3 games, but the difference between year 1 and year 2 at Washington, even, like really getting up to speed with what they wanted to do and the guys that were on the team, he was a Heisman finalist because of it.
Yeah.
Had a couple down games in the middle of the year when I'm still convinced something kind of happened to his ribs in that win over Oregon. If he doesn't have those down games, he probably wins the Heisman Trophy that year.
He was outstanding.
Nobody would know him better because he coached him at Indiana and, like you said, convinced him to come all the way up there to Seattle, which – okay, yeah. Well, hey, Bo, we're gonna hang out just for a few more minutes here as Caden Proctor is walking over to sit down. So we'll delay the break just for a couple of minutes as we have an opportunity to chat with another member of the Alabama Crimson Tide, this time on the offensive side of the football, offensive lineman Caden Proctor sitting down with us right now. How are you?
I'm great, man. How y'all doing today? I'm just blessed to be here and have this opportunity to showcase Alabama and represent them here today. But how are y'all guys doing?
We're doing
today?
Great. Thanks for the time.
Outstanding, man. And it was some confusion. We had some fun with your whole thing with going back to Iowa. We were like, well, he just wanted to see Caitlin Clark play. That was all. That's why he wanted to go back. But talk about your transition going back to Alabama, and then how was it playing for Kellen DeBoer last year as opposed to right now? Because obviously he came in so late in the process and then took over around springtime. Now it seems like he has a whole year with them.
So, going back to Iowa, not really talking about that too much. That was a year and a half ago, but obviously seeing Caitlin Clark. I mean, I've been seeing her play since middle school, high school, and that's the best athlete that I've honestly seen in this whole time that I've been alive. Honestly,
really?
She's just crazy at what she does.
Well, there's the headline. Caitlin Clark. We did it.
From year 1 to year 2 is a little bit more comfortability, with having that relationship with Coach DeBoer. Like, you have to take time to settle down. You get to know people. I mean, you come in and it's just like a fluster a little bit. And there's coming into Alabama, especially playing in ACC, there's a level of intensity. You got to come in. You got to fill some big shoes. But I do see those similar things between Coach Saban and Coach DeBoer. It's Alabama. They're not going to just pick anybody to be our head coach. So I know that Coach DeBoer is the best fit for us, and that's who I'm rolling with. That's who I'm with. I'm blessed to have him as my coach.
He also has, and now you guys have too, a member of his coaching staff that he had been with all along the way. And then last year Ryan Grubb was in the NFL. Now he's back with you guys. How is that different, having a different offensive coordinator?
I mean, offensive coordinators change all the time. I mean, some guys will have 4 different ones, 5 different ones in their time of college football. That's just the nature of college football. I love the past 2 that I have, and I love the one that I have now. I feel like Coach Grubb, he's an offensive line guy. He protects us at all times, puts that love into us because they know it starts up front.
Man. No doubt.
Like, it starts up front. We in the trenches. It's always hard, so he tries to take care of us, and I'm just really appreciative for him.
Tell us about your offense, especially mainly the quarterback position, because like you say, it starts with you guys. You are the rock. You are the leader up front, holding down that left side. But, I mean, we don't know, and he has not said who's going to be your starting quarterback, but if it started today, it would be the young boy.
Right now, we still don't know, honestly. So you can't say it's Keelan, can't say it's Ty, can't say it's Austin right now. Once we go through fall camp and go through that, and we'll see on August 30th who that is. But right now, it's still a tight battle. I mean, they still have a lot of talent. All three of them have a lot of talent. From my perspective, whoever it is, I'm going to protect them to my best ability and to make sure they got the best stats they can have throughout the season. So,
Caden Proctor joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Alabama Crimson Tide offensive lineman. How different is the offense given who it might be? Obviously, three different guys that have three different skill sets. How much difference would there be depending on who is the starter?
I don't feel like it would be any different. Whoever starts there, I know that the offensive line is going to take care of their job. Like I said, Coach Grubb is an offensive line guy, so he's going to take care of us. And within that, we're aggressive. We want to maul guys, but we also want to protect and get that ball going. You know what I'm saying? And I know people say we don't have a running quarterback anymore, but I'm not going to lie, all three of those guys can run.
Right.
So I love that they're versatile and they can throw on the run. They can throw in the pocket, step up in the pocket. I mean, all three of those guys are smart. So I'm proud of each and every one of them.
We got last one for you. We just had your teammate on, Tim. And Tim, Keenan was on with us. And I wanted to ask you because we always talk about that phrase, iron sharpens iron.
That's right.
I was just talking about your defense before you got over here. Like, might be one of the best defenses in the country that nobody's talking about. Talk about going against those guys in practice.
I agree with that, and I'm confident to say that they will be the best defense, and that's just the confidence that I have going against them every day. TK, we just got done with a player around practice yesterday. He beat me. Like, that's just how it goes.
Love it.
And I'm not scared to say that I lost to him because it goes vice versa too. Like, that's the iron sharpens iron. I mean, you go against guys like Dallas Turner, I mean, it gets you prepared for those moments. And the defense that we have right now, LT Overton, I mean, down to the freshmen that just came in, they are tough-nosed, you know, hard guys to go against. And that's just the level of play of the SEC. Like, we're all the top dogs that come from our high school. We come in collectively, work together, and that iron sharpens iron. It's just – I know it's kind of cliche, but it's so true, though. It's so true.
No doubt about it.
Well, that's why cliches become cliches, because they're true. Caden, we appreciate the time. Thank you.
Appreciate you, brother.
Thank you.
That's Caden Proctor there, Alabama Crimson Tide offensive lineman. Had a member of the defense, member of the offense. Got a chance to talk a lot about their season coming up. We can react a bit more to what we heard from those guys on the other side. Got to grab a quick break here as we broadcast live from SEC Media Days, College Football Hall of Fame. First hour of the show brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com.
Okay.
What?
No, he said do it two times, so I'm like, by who, Andy?
That's right. This hour has been brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. Such a good place, you got to say it twice. So nice, we'll say it twice. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.